Author Merrill Gordon's new biography, The Woman Who Knew Everyone, The Power of Pearl Mesta, Washington's Most Famous Hostess, delves into the life of Pearl Mesta, a prominent socialite, political hostess, activist, and U.S. envoy to Luxembourg. Renowned for her lavish parties that attracted politicians and celebrities, Mesta was a confidant to Presidents Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, and Lyndon Johnson. Her diplomatic role inspired the hit musical Call Me Madam, starring Ethel Merman. Beyond her social endeavors, Mesta was a pioneering supporter of the Equal Rights Amendment and played a crucial role in Democratic fundraising, notably aiding Truman's 1948 campaign. Merrill Gordon is a journalism professor at NYU, author of Mrs. Astor Regrets, and joins us this morning to discuss her new book, The Woman Who Knew Everyone. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Merrill Gordon to the roundtable this morning. Merrill, thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you on the program.
I'm delighted. It's very exciting. You know, you spend a couple of years quietly writing a book and you think no one will care. And it's very, you know, it's thrilling to discover people seem to care. So I'm pleased.
What was it about the life of Pearl Mesta that made you want to care?
Well, I have been hearing about her for years. What sparked my interest is City Centers in Manhattan has an encore series where they bring back old musicals. And they revived Call Me Madam in 2019. That's the Irving Berlin musical that was based on Pearl Mesta's life. And at that point, I was looking for a biography. And a friend of mine said, what about Pearl Mesta? And I thought, what about Pearl Mesta? And when I began looking her up, from 1930 until 1975, she was one of the most famous women in America. I was kind of astonished to find more than 100,000 newspaper stories, 100,000, which either quoted her or mentioned her. And she was famous for many reasons. She was one of the first American women to be named to a State Department foreign embassy. Harry Truman sent her to Luxembourg in 1949. She also was a crusading feminist. She was quietly strong for civil rights. And she became very close to three different presidents, Truman, Eisenhower, and LBJ. And she was someone who would have both Republicans and Democrats to her house. She became famous as a hostess giving parties. And it was interesting because she was both serious and frivolous. She would write these, she was a huge campaigner for the Equal Rights Amendment. So she would write these very serious newspaper op-eds talking about the importance of giving women more opportunities. And we're talking about the 1930s and 40s. She also wrote an entertaining column for McCall's in which she talked about things like how to deal with tipsy guests. So she was a little bit of everything.
When it comes to her really becoming on the scene, how did that develop? I mean, you write about it. She lost her husband, and is it really then that she starts to become a force?
Pearl was this is not a rags to riches story. This is a riches to riches. Her father made several fortunes in Texas, real estate and oil wildcatting. Then moved to Oklahoma City. So she always had money in her life. Her husband, George Mesta, ran a Pittsburgh steel company, Mesta Machine, and again, he earned a ton of money. Pearl was at one point said to be worth $50 million when $50 million was actually a lot of money. Mm. And she managed to spend it all, but a lot of it went for good works. Now, very briefly, her husband was named a dollar-a-year advisor to President Wilson during World War I. Pearl spent time in Washington, and she began to understand sort of art of social climbing, but also how, as a woman with very few opportunities, as you remember, women didn't get the right to vote till 1920, that if you were a hostess, you really could start to gain power. You could, if, you know, most government officials didn't have much money, Pearl's husband had a lot, so she would buy boxes for charity balls, and she would invite the Commerce Secretary and the Treasury Secretary, and suddenly she had a lot of new friends. So she kind of learned a little bit of how you can use money in Washington to get ahead. And then, as you mentioned, after her husband died, she kind of flailed around for a while, and then she got very involved in 1939 with the Equal Rights Amendment, and she lobbied this Missouri senator, Harry Truman, who said that he would be interested in voting for it. And when he became FDR's vice president, Pearl gave him this very glamorous party at the Sulgrave Club, and Harry was having such a good time. He stayed and played the piano. 6 weeks later, FDR was dead, Truman was president, and an invitation to Pearl's was the hottest ticket in town.
And did she have an agenda when she was hosting a party or an event of something that she wanted to accomplish?
She always said she did. So when I was tracking the progress of the Equal Rights Amendment in Congress, which, as you may remember, it has come up for committee votes, it has come up for votes in, you know, on both sides of Congress, and every time that the ERA was in play, Pearl would be giving dinner parties and trying to have politicians, you know, both Republicans and Democrats, because she needed everybody's vote at those parties. But she was also, she had been a Republican, and she became a Democrat in 1940. She didn't like the way that Republicans had treated Wendell Willkie. And so she gave a lot of parties that were really meant to move forward Truman's agenda, Democrats' agenda. She became infamous for giving these huge parties at the Democratic conventions from 1948 until 1964. And I'm talking 5,000 people breakfast for Lyndon Johnson and these massive parties. So that she, yes, she had a very good time with her money, and people had a very good time at her homes.
Because she was so close with Johnson, it created a rift between herself and the Kennedys and of course Jackie Kennedy. What was it about Johnson that made her so close to him, and ultimately what she did not find to be pleasing about JFK?
Well, Pearl had a knack for making friends with politicians at a very young age. I've already mentioned meeting Truman, but in the 1920s, she gave an engagement party for a family friend who was marrying Milton Eisenhower, the younger brother of Ike. So Pearl befriended Ike and Mamie in the 1920s when he was a major. She befriended JFK when he first came to Congress. She began to invite him to her parties and kept trying to fix him up with Harry Truman's daughter, Margaret. It didn't take, but she enjoyed that. And Sam Rayburn, she was very close to Speaker of the House, Sam Rayburn, and he wanted her to meet his protege, Lyndon Johnson. For my book, I was able to interview both of LBJ's daughters, and they said to me, Pearl thought that Daddy had potential, and he didn't know that many, you know, wealthy Washington women, and she wanted to open doors for him. She wanted him to meet the right people, and he was very grateful. So in 1960, as you remember, he didn't run in the primaries. JFK kind of ran away with it, but he really was hoping at the convention to sort of have his moment in the sun. And when it became clear that, you know, JFK was going to win, after LBJ agreed to become vice president, he summoned a group of his close friends. Pearl was among them, to tell them the news. And Pearl was so angry, she grabbed his tie and she's jerking on it saying, "You've betrayed us. How can you do this?" And then she went to the Republican convention in Chicago, and she gave a disastrous interview. Now, let me roll back and say she had known Jackie Kennedy since Jackie was a young girl. Pearl was friendly with Jackie's mother, Janet Auchincloss. They socialized together in Newport, in Washington, and in New York. When Jackie wanted to go to this party Pearl was giving in London to celebrate the swearing in of Queen Elizabeth, Jackie showed up at Pearl's door and basically said, "You know, you know my mother, can I come to your party?" And Pearl said yes. And the cover of my book is a picture of Jackie at Pearl's big party in 1956. But in the summer of 1960, Pearl goes to the Republican convention and she gives this disastrous interview to the Associated Press. She's still angry that LBJ is not, you know, presidential candidate. And she talks about, I think the pictures had just run, I think it was Life magazine, of Jack and Jackie in Cape Cod. And Pearl went nuts over the fact that Jackie wasn't wearing stockings. I mean, she gave this interview saying, "Oh my God, I'm in a tizzy. You know, Jackie doesn't even wear stockings, and they're going to invite all these friends like Frank Sinatra to the White House." and I don't know what I'm going to do. And she, Pearl, ended up basically throwing her support behind Richard Nixon. She campaigned with buttons, Democrats for Nixon. What people said at the time, and they were right, is that Pearl was committing social suicide. And the Kennedys never let her in the White House during their entire time there. It drove Pearl nuts because she'd been there under every other president. But they knew how to hold a grudge with good reason.
Mm. She's quoted as saying that after Jack Kennedy was assassinated, that she always knew that Johnson would become president.
Well, you know, the assassination was in November, and in January, there are White House logs showing LBJ calling Pearl, and she was immediately invited to the first big White House dinner. So that once LBJ was in the White House, she was very much a part of their world.
What was it about, you know, we're talking about a time in the 60s, but this was after the musical. I mean, there's always already a musical about this woman. And so how did that come about and ultimately to have Ethel Merman star in it? And how thinly veiled was it that this was Pearl Mesta?
Time magazine ran a cover story on Pearl in March 1949, which was a very unusual situation. I mean, women didn't usually make the cover of Time. It was in honor of her sort of entertaining and her role in Washington. And they sent reporters all over the country to Newport, to Texas, to Oklahoma, to London, to sort of gather information. And basically, Howard Stickney, whose writing partner was Russell Krauss, and they'd done a lot of work with Irving Berlin, read this cover story a few months later. Pearl had just been nominated to be the envoy to Luxembourg. Howard Stickney was on vacation with Ethel Merman, and he thought, wow, Ethel is great at larger-than-life characters. You know, what a great, funny plot this would be. You know, the Washington hostess who has no diplomatic experience goes to Luxembourg. And that's how they decided to write the musical. And it was very fast. I mean, the musical opened in the fall, I believe, of 1950, and it was a huge hit. And Ethel and Pearl became very good friends, and essentially anytime Pearl was giving a party and she wanted someone to come sing, Ethel would come sing, Ethel would stay with Pearl. You know, the musical became a movie. And then Pearl wrote an autobiography that was a bestseller. I mean, it's hard to almost, I came up with the title for this book, The Woman Who Knew Everyone, after I wrote a chapter in which Pearl met Queen Elizabeth, Nikita Khrushchev, Wernher von Braun, and Judy Garland. I mean, it was just she really did. Anybody was important. She could just pick up the phone and they wanted to meet her.
What was it about the people who had come to the parties? Certainly it was the place to be, and it was something that was greatly regarded. Although she did have people there that turned on her, and she on them, right? I mean, there was a lot of drama at these events.
There, you know, it's funny to think about it now, but there was tremendous competition among Washington hostesses. There was another woman, Gwen Kafritz, who was Pearl's avowed enemy for years. And one of the fun things for me, after Time magazine did that cover story, the reporters donated all their research to the New York Historical Society. There was 150 pages on Pearl. It was amazing, of reporters' notes. And there were all these incredibly mean, funny comments by her rival hostesses trying to put her down. Pearl, she did something that was sort of very different for Washington. Even now, I think you can go to a Washington party and somebody will say, Senator so-and-so, could you please discuss immigration or tariffs? Pearl didn't want to have those kind of stuffy parties. She hired Broadway singers. She hired novelty acts like fortune tellers. She was organizing conga lines and hootenannies later on. She wanted people to think about her home as a place that they could let down their hair and they could have fun. And she also liked the idea of, you know, she knew somebody who might be looking for a leg up in the administration. She sat them next to maybe someone who could give them a job. So she liked being able to kind of, you know, pull the strings behind the scene.
Lived to be 92. It's a good run.
She did, but she lied about her age. It was just funny. She was born in 1892, and she lied. she was always knocking 6 years off or 9 years off or, you know, whatever. But after she died, her friends tried to organize a campaign to get a stamp named in her honor, and they actually got Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford and Richard Nixon to all write letters about her influence in Washington. And she still didn't get her stamp, which I thought was kind of amazing.
Is there any sense of what blocked that?
The only thing I could figure out, because the notes were not available, was that essentially the post office was way far behind, and they were honoring women who had been born 100 years earlier. So Pearl was just, you know, wrong year, wrong time.
As I was reading the book, it does strike me, and I don't know, I'm certainly there are, I would assume there are comparisons, but this is a breed that has passed, right? I mean, it's hard to think of someone like this. They don't make them like this anymore.
That was certainly the feeling. I was in Washington over the weekend, and Sally Quinn, the Washington Post writer, yeah, who was also a renowned hostess for many years, came to one of my events, and I think we couldn't think of anybody who had the kind of reach. But in a positive sense, you know, women can hold, you know, they can be senators or vice presidents, they can hold top jobs, they can run for president. So there isn't the same, you know, if you have that kind of drive to be powerful, there's lots of other ways to satisfy it versus giving parties.
The name of the new book is The Woman Who Knew Everyone, The Power of Pearl Mesta, Washington's Most Famous Hostess, by Merle Gordon. Merle, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you making the time. And, obviously from your questions, you really did read the book. thank you for that, too.
Well, I really enjoyed it. Merle Gordon, thank you very much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Great.
Be well. Again, Merle Gordon's new biography is The Woman Who Knew Everyone. The book is published by Grand Central. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.